1989 saw the most critical turning point in world affairs since the end of World War II. That was the time when the Iron Curtain came down and the Cold War was finally at an end. When the hammer and sickle flag of communism was finally hauled down from atop the Kremlin a couple of years later, the United States was left as the world's lone superpower. That's how the situation has remained for well over a decade. Will America remain as the world's superpower for the foreseeable future? Or are we on the verge of another turning point in world affairs? Is another superpower getting set to emerge on the world scene? If you want to know the real answers to these and other questions, then stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, John O'Gwen asks, is Europe the next superpower? And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. For almost a decade and a half, the United States has been recognized as the world's only superpower. How long can such a state of affairs continue? Where is America's competition in the years immediately ahead really going to come from? Frankly, my friends, if you look at the various ideas that are being promoted, if you listen to the various analysts and commentators, you will find utter confusion. You know, if you go back to the 1980s, 1989, when the Iron Curtain collapsed in Europe, ultimately the Berlin Wall came down, Germany was reunified. You know, my friends, the analysts and the various commentators did not get it right about the collapse of Soviet communism at that time. And they're not getting it right at this time either. They don't really understand where these things are headed. In the aftermath of World War II, the United States and Britain spent literally billions of dollars over a period of decades on intelligence gathering and intelligence analysis. There were spies that we had in various countries. There were think tanks that were funded. There were all sorts of analysis that was going on, trying to understand what was going to happen, trying to understand where it was going to lead. And for all of the money spent, for all of the things that were done to try to understand what was going on, to try to understand really the future, because that's why they were analyzing intelligence, my friends. You know, they didn't get it right. They didn't understand what was going to happen. It absolutely caught them in a totally unexpected way when the Iron Curtain came down. They did not perceive the massive sea change that was taking place in world events in 1989. The greatest geopolitical events that had occurred since the end of World War II occurred at that time, with the collapse of the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall being torn down, the reunification of Germany, the emergence of the nations of Eastern Europe from out behind the Iron Curtain. All of the analysis by the CIA and by the various other think tanks and government entities, both in America and Britain and our allies, they did not get it right. Now, my friends, there are things that are shaping up on the world scene right now. And they're not getting that right either. They don't understand where these things are going to lead. But you can understand. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Let's think about something. The United States right now stands pretty well unchallenged as the world's lone superpower. Where will our primary challenge really come from in the years ahead? Have you thought about that? Where will we be challenged? Is it going to be from China? What about Europe? What role will Europe play? Will Europe be the next superpower? You know, frankly, virtually all the analysts will tell you that that couldn't happen. Oh, yes, they see the European Union shaping up. They see the power block as far as the economic power block in Europe. But they don't perceive where it's going to lead. They don't perceive how it could come about as a real challenge to the United States, to Britain, and to the English-speaking world. Now, we've made such claims, as those of you who regularly listen to tomorrow's World Telecast know. On what basis do we make a claim like that? You know, frankly, right now, there is not a strong, cohesive Europe. There are certainly many Europeans who would like to see a strong, cohesive Europe emerge, but there are many obstacles to such a thing happening. You know, right now, there are 25 countries that are currently in the European Union. Now, a new European Union constitution has been drafted, but its future at this point is uncertain. At least 10 countries are going to hold a referendum, and some of those countries, particularly Britain, are poised to say no to this European constitution. Now, frankly, why do you care what the Europeans do? You know, American Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, back a few months ago, dismissed France and Germany as the, quote, old Europe. Rush Limbaugh called them irrelevant to America. Are they really? Do these men and others like them have it right? Don't be too sure. You know, my friends, secular analysis of these problems is insufficient. Well, what other source is available? If secular analysis is insufficient, where do you go to find the answers? Back in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, we have an account of the Apostle Paul as he was in Athens, and he was speaking to an assembly on Mars Hill. And as these individuals were gathered around, the Apostle Paul made a number of points, but notice in Acts 17, verse 26, he referred to God, the Creator, and he says, He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Do you get that, my friends? God has determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation, the rise and fall of great nations, the ebb and flow of empires. The great Creator God is directly involved in that. There is a source that you and I can go to make sense of where the world is headed in the years immediately ahead of us. If we go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel, we read a little more on this very important subject. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, we have the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, who had a great dream. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. He had conquered the whole Middle Eastern area, including the nation of Judah. Daniel was a Jewish captive who had been brought to Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in this dream, he saw a great tree, and he saw all sorts of birds nesting in the tree and animals of the field, and then he saw the tree cut down and just the stump left. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was really puzzled by that. Finally, Daniel was brought in to analyze that dream and to explain to him God's message. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that what he had seen was really for the purpose, Daniel 4:17, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. And sometimes He sets over it even the basest of men. You see, God rules in the kingdom of men. Daniel went on to tell King Nebuchadnezzar that he was literally going to be driven from his throne for a period of 7 years. And that was going to occur so that, as he says in verse 25, that you may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. Ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar was going to be driven from men. His dwelling would be with the beasts of the field. That literally happened. and seven times or 7 years were to pass over him. Notice why, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Would you like to know what Bible prophecy says about the next superpower? Now, in the next part of our program, we're going to look very closely at some of those prophecies. But before we do, I would like to take this moment to offer you a free booklet entitled The Beast of Revelation. This booklet will pull together prophecies from the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation to give you clear insight into what lies ahead on the world scene. These events are going to affect you and your family in the years immediately ahead. You need to understand them, my friends. This booklet will help you in that endeavor. And we'll send it to you absolutely free of charge. All you have to do is call or write us. Request your own personal copy of The Beast of Revelation right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
For how long can America expect to remain as the lone superpower? Are we going to be successfully challenged in the years immediately ahead? Who could possibly do such a thing? Did you know that the Bible lays out the future in advance? I want to call your attention to a prophecy recorded in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. He said, "You, O king, saw and behold a great image." In verse 36, he says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." He said, "You, O king, you're a king of kings. You're a great king. God has given you power." He said, "You are this head of gold." Then he went on to say, verse 39, "After you there will arise another kingdom, a kingdom inferior to you in certain ways, and then a third kingdom of brass that'll bear rule over all the earth." Then, finally, verse 40, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, represented by the two legs of iron. Iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things." Then he described the toes being a combination, verse 42, that would be partly strong and partly broken. Now let's think about and let's understand the history of what is involved right here. We know very clearly that the image starts out with Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. That was the head of gold. History tells us that there was another kingdom that arose that was to take over from the Babylonians. In fact, that story is actually recorded in the book of Daniel. Decades later, after Nebuchadnezzar had died, Daniel was an elderly man, and he literally lived to see the time when the empire of the Medes and the Persians, led by Cyrus the Great, came in and conquered the Babylonian Empire. And in 539, Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians. And the empire of the Persians held sway over the Middle East for about two centuries. And then the empire of Alexander the Great, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, arose in the west, came across from Europe into Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and conquered that whole Middle Eastern area, and the Persian Empire fell to the Greeks. Alexander the Great set up a great empire, but at his death, his empire was divided among four of his generals because Alexander was cut off in the prime of life, left only a little infant son who was very quickly pushed aside, and four of his major generals took over and divided this empire between them. It remained as a Greek-speaking empire on down to the days when the Roman Empire emerged on the world scene. And about 31 BC, at the Battle of Actium, the last of the Greek kingdoms, the Ptolemaic Egyptian kingdom ruled by Queen Cleopatra, who was actually of Greek lineage, a descendant of Alexander's general Ptolemy, that portion of the Greek Empire, the last of the four portions to fall to Rome, fell at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. And then the Roman Empire was supreme over that whole area. The Roman Empire continued on down through New Testament times, continued on, and ultimately the Roman Empire fell, or the Western Roman Empire, headquartered at Rome, fell in 476 AD. But prior to that time, my friends, the Roman Empire was divided, initially for administrative purposes, into the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire. Now, what's the significance of that? What's that all about? Well, frankly, Daniel described two legs of iron. The two legs of iron represent the Roman Empire in its Western form and its Eastern form. Now, the Western Empire fell in 476. The Eastern Empire, known as Byzantium with its capital at Constantinople, called historically either the Eastern Roman Empire or the Byzantine Empire, continued on down. Now, while the empire headquartered at Rome, fell in 476 and was then revived a little less than a century later by Emperor Justinian from the east, and continued successively in the west as the Holy Roman Empire. What most don't realize, the Eastern Roman Empire continued all the way down till the mid-1400s. And finally, the Turks captured Constantinople and the Eastern Roman Empire fell in 1453. Now, that was actually not even the complete end of the Eastern Roman Empire. These two legs of the empire gave rise to the two great branches of European civilization. You see, Western Europe takes its heritage from the Latin, Germanic, Catholic realm of the Western Roman Empire, from Rome. But Eastern Europe takes its heritage from the Greek, Slavic, Orthodox realm that initially came from Constantinople. You know, when Constantinople fell and the Eastern Roman Empire finally was destroyed in 1453, there was an event that took place a few years later. There was a marriage between Zoe, the niece of the last Eastern Roman emperor, who was the heir to the Eastern Roman throne. She married Ivan, the Duke of Muscovy. Actually, the Pope himself performed the wedding. In the aftermath of that, Ivan, the Grand Duke of Muscovy, took a new title to himself. He took the title Tsar. Now, it's interesting because when you go through European history, you find that Europe was dominated by two individuals who both claimed to be Caesar. In the West, in German, the title was pronounced Kaiser. It's derived from the Latin Caesar. In the East, the Eastern Roman Empire used the term Caesar, and later, when the Russians took the title Tsar, that was simply the Russian form of Caesar. There were two individuals, the Kaiser and the Tsar, who claimed to be the heirs of Roman civilization. The two legs of the empire continuing all the way down till the final 10 toes. Now remember, my friends, what did Daniel see? He saw a great stone coming down that smashed the image on its toes, and the whole thing turned to dust and blew away. And in the aftermath of that, the God of heaven set up a kingdom that would never be removed. So in the years immediately ahead of us, there is a final revival of the Roman system that is going to emerge on the world scene. This final revival of the Roman system will include the heirs of both Western Rome and Eastern Rome. It will be a mixture that is described as like iron and ceramic clay. You can put it together, but it's not very cohesive. It will not endure long term, but it is going to emerge. My friends, these things are going to happen. Now, Daniel, in Daniel 7, describes another vision, a dream that he had, of four great beasts. These emerge out of the sea. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, John builds on Daniel's vision of Daniel chapter 7, and he describes a beast that receives a deadly wound and it was healed. Now we're going to look a little more at those in the remaining portion of our program. How can a revived Roman Empire reappear in our day? I'd like to offer you a free booklet entitled The Beast of Revelation. You know, you can't just take a couple of verses and make sense of this vast subject. However, in this booklet, we take all of the scriptures relating to the beast, and we put them all together for you. Request your own personal copy of The Beast of Revelation right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, I want to help you understand how this new superpower is going to emerge. But first, let's look briefly at what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 7. This was a dream that Daniel had in his later years, and Daniel, in Daniel 7, describes another vision, a dream that he had, of four great beasts coming up from the sea, and they were different from one another. The first was like a lion, and the second was like a bear. The third, we're told in verse 6, was like a leopard, and it had wings, four wings, and then it also had four heads. Then we find in verse 7 that a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, with great iron teeth, one that devoured and broke in pieces, was the fourth and final one of these four creatures to emerge. And it continued until, verse 9, I beheld till the thrones, these kingdoms, were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. You see, Daniel went on to record that he saw, as he says in verse 13, one like unto the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and coming to the Ancient of Days. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Now these great beasts, Daniel tells us in verse 17, represent four kings or four kingdoms. And the saints of the Most High are ultimately going to take and possess the kingdom. Daniel wanted to understand the significance of this fourth beast that he saw with the great iron teeth. He was told, verse 23, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. And it's going to devour. And it's going to tread down and break down. Now, my friends, we saw in an earlier segment of this program the dream of Daniel chapter 2. You see, Daniel 7 correlates with Daniel chapter 2. It describes the same geopolitical events, but it describes them in a different format. Our booklet, The Beast of Revelation, will help you put all that together along with the prophecies in Revelation that are built and based on this. Now, as we look at the world today, and we look at the events that are shaping up in Europe, the heir to the Roman civilization, the continuation of the old Roman Empire, we look at the European Union. You know, the European Union started simply as an economic union in the aftermath of World War II. In the years since, it has gradually taken on both political and military overtones. Now, you know, there's a lot of internal opposition in the European Union because there are two competing visions of what Europe is to become. Now, frankly, some nations, particularly Britain and perhaps several others, will ultimately opt out of an increasingly integrated European Union. The newly proposed European Union Constitution makes a number of interesting provisions. They plan on creating a president who will have a term, perhaps 5 years. However, this president will be more of a figurehead, won't have a lot of power. There will be a council consisting of the head of states of the various nations that are members that will have the major power. However, there's a significant difference to what exists right now. You know, right now, one nation out of the European Union can veto a policy. This new council is going to have a weighted voting system, something that has been pushed by France and Germany, that will allow, frankly, a handful of the major nations to dominate and control the direction that it's going to go and remove the veto power from some of the other nations. Now, there's an interesting provision that is included with that. And that has to do with the fact that the president of the European Union, though he will be given little day-to-day power in the overall sense of things, and yet there's a provision that is built in that in the case of an emergency, in a crisis, the Council of Ministers, again, by a weighted voting system, not necessarily all of them agreeing, but the dominant nations agreeing, they can invest him with temporary emergency powers. You know, in the book of Revelation, we're told that 10 kings will give their power to the beast for 1 hour. Is it possible that this is setting a format where something like that can happen? There will be a crisis that will occur, and there will be a strong man that will emerge. Our free booklet, The Beast of Revelation, can explain those things to you because it expounds the prophecies contained in your Bible. My friends, we invite you to request your own free copy right now of our booklet, The Beast of Revelation. Also, please remember to tune in at this same time and station each and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I seek to make plain to you the prophecies of your Bible and the good news of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800. Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.